Alrighty. Everybody good? All right. Just checking. All right. Well, we're doing the second part of our two-part series. So this is the final part of this little short series that we've entitled "If Only." And so we're going to deal with we're dealing with relationships today without regrets. And so let me just set this up a little bit for you today. You know, how many have ever had a dream destination that you'd just like to go somewhere, just utopia place? If you had an ideal place you'd like to go, and that's just kind of your bucket list, some place you'd like to travel to. I think all of us probably do that. I think probably, you know, one of those ideal places would be like Hawaii. I went there on my honeymoon, haven't been able to afford to go back since, but anyway, and so instead of Hawaii, we do Florida. It's our second choice there, I guess, a little closer, a little more economical, and I love going and just watching a sunset or a sunrise, and actually my wife and I and Tanner actually got the opportunity to get away this week for just a few days, and we saw some sunrises and some sunsets, just about every one of them, actually. But can I tell you that when you take a trip like this to your ideal location, can I tell you that when you go, what makes the trip really valuable is that you go with somebody. Is that not true? I mean, what is a sunset or a sunrise when you have to enjoy that all by yourself and you have nobody to share it with? And so really what enriches our journey is when you take people with you. And I think that's something that speaks to the way we're built, the way we're structured, we're built for relationship. In fact, we spent some time at the beach, and my folks live in Orlando, and my son, Tanner, his choice was between the beach and Orlando, and he was really preferring to go to Orlando. And now that sounds kind of strange because there's no beach at Orlando, all right? Y'all know that. It's a little more inland. But I recognize that one of the reasons for that was he spent some time there this summer and built some relationships outside on the street playing basketball. And so I think he wanted to go back and show him how much even more he had grown, you know, taller than his dad and everybody. And back when he first got there, a neighbor looked at him and said, "Man, if you keep on, you're going to be taller than your dad." He quickly corrected them and said, "I am taller than my dad." But it's interesting. I looked at Kim. I said, "Isn't that interesting that it's not, you know, you'd think a kid would choose the beach." No, he chose friends. He chose relationships. And I think that says something. And so when we think about a destination, I always think this way. In our relationships, when we're thinking that we want our relationships to have a destination to them. We want to have a goal in our relationships. Now, it's one thing to have a desire or an intention of getting somewhere, but that doesn't get us anywhere. You can have a desire and you can have intention, but in order for you to reach your destination, you have to do something. And so today we're going to talk about that, how you can take this relationship and you can go somewhere with that. Now, last week, we talked about one of the things that keeps us from getting on the road to our destination, and that is our regrets, mistakes that we make. You know, that if only I had not made this mistake, then perhaps this relationship would be somewhere else. It would look different. It would be an entirely different relationship, if only. And so we've made these mistakes, and so our lives become scrambled up. We titled last week's installment "Scrambled Eggs." You know, sometimes our life looks that way, and we discovered that, you know, you cannot unscramble eggs, but our Father in heaven can. He supernaturally can put things back in order, and so we have to entrust Him with that. And so, and so we also set this up, and that is, we talked about sometimes we have just made mistakes that we regret. Some of them are serious and some of them are not so serious. And I began talking about sharing with you some of the things that are a little lighthearted about some of the things that we've done. And I sort of referred to some things and some fashions and some hairstyles that we used to, you know, adopt years ago. And we think, that was a mistake when we look back at the pictures. And by the way, a couple of weeks ago, as we concluded our last series, we were talking about disappointments, dealing with disappointments. And I threw up some random pictures of some random people that you do not know. Remember that? bad haircuts and stuff. And I actually threw up the family with the cats. Somebody told me, said, "Pastor, I think you need to be careful. There's people that are cat owners here in your church, and that could be very offensive to them." And so, so just to kind of even the score here, you know, and just to, in all fairness, since I picked on these random people that you do not know, I thought I would just sort of share some of my own personal mistakes just to level the ground. And I mentioned this last week. Well, when I was in Florida, I actually dug up some pictures from my family, and my sister sent them to me. And so I might have mentioned that back a long time ago, I actually had a pink suit. Well, there it is, y'all. Okay, pink plaid. The pants, it's kind of hard to see. They're hot pink. I'm just saying. And look how happy I am about it. I'm just really happy about this. I'm beside myself. That's a shag haircut, by the way, 70s, okay? And in fact, there's one of me outside where you can get the full, hey, there it is, y'all. White Pat Boone shoes. Y'all know what Pat Boone shoes are? And if you could see behind the coat, you'd probably see a white belt, too. I'm just, all right. And then let me just show you one other. I try not to go too deep into the pictures, but this is called a leisure suit. Okay? That's a leisure suit. And if you could see it really up close, you would see that there is a light blue, baby blue shirt, silky shirt underneath that coat, underneath that suit that actually my mother made. And but this shirt has these fluffy clouds on it. Kind of reminds you of The Simpsons. And notice, you've got to be real proud of that shirt because you put the lapel out on the outside of the coat. And if you look close, you'll see even you turned the sleeves up so they can get a little bit of it on the sleeve right there. So anyway, okay. So thank you for, yeah. And by the way, for you cat lovers, I didn't pull this one out. You know, I mean, I can only go so far. But I must just confess right here, and that is that some years ago, Kim had a cat named Blackie, just a little cat, all black cat, and she lost this cat on Christmas Eve. We have a thing about losing cats on Christmas and Easter. We lost our animals. We lost our dog on Easter. Anyway, she lost her cat when she was real young, that she had all of her childhood on Christmas Eve. So a couple years expired while we were married. Yes, I did it. Just let you know, So when Kim came home from work, I'm standing between the Christmas tree and the fireplace with a red little Christmas stocking with a little black kitten with his head sticking out of the... okay, I'm going to have to come up with a picture. They don't believe me. I know they don't even believe me after all I've said. And it had a little white spot here. It was a bow tie. It got all dressed up for Christmas. Anyway, so I'm just letting you know. Just want to connect with my cat people. Any cat people out there? Okay. But I still say dogs are the way to go. Anyway, but just a little lighthearted fun there. But seriously, there are times in our life where these mistakes are not just silly, but sometimes they're life-changing mistakes that we have in our life and regrets that we have. But only with God's help can you unscramble the eggs, and that takes his supernatural ability to do so. So we looked at that last week, but today I want us to look at what does the journey look like? In other words, what steps can we take? What intentional steps can we take to progress us in the right direction for our relationships to look how we want them to look? Because we don't just need to meander around. We need to be going somewhere. We need to have a goal of how we want our relationships to look. And so, and let's begin with this scripture. It's there in your worship guide. We have message notes, and we'll throw them up here for you to fill in the blanks here. But this, let's begin with this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And so again, last week we're getting things working right. We got to get things right so we can get on this journey. And so the thing we talked about, we got to get ourselves right. Not try to get everybody else right. We're to get ourselves right first. And now let's get going down this journey. And we have this destination we're trying to go, and you need to know where you're going. And so we got to ask the question then, what's your destination? I mean, relationally, what is your destination with people? And let's just go into some what ifs and fill these in as we go. What if God healed my relationships? What if God could heal my relationships? That thing that's broken, that relationship that's broken, is there a way that God could heal that relationship? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the men's horses, all the king's horses, all the king's men, right? Couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but God can, right? God can do the miraculous. And so what would it be? Because see, here's the thing. God, that's what God does. He is in the restoration business. He is in the miracle working business. He is in the business, everybody, hey, of bringing dead things to life, right? That's what our God does. All things are possible with God. So what if God healed my relationships? Here's another one. What if God showed us our purpose together? What if God showed us our purpose together? Because there is a purpose. God has a plan for our lives. Look again at Romans chapter 8, that verse I just shared with you. That last part, he says, who have been called according to his purpose. When you look at that word purpose in the Greek, there's a couple of definitions. One just simply means that. It's purpose and it's the reason why. But there's another definition of that word that means showbread. And if you remember in the Old Testament, there is the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there is the showbread. And that's where the priest would lay out the loaves that would represent the different tribes of Israel. And it had to be fresh bread laid out. And this bread was laid out in front of them. And here's what I want us to see. And that is that God lays out in front of us everything that we have need of to do what he's called us to do. He lays out before us his presence. He gives us ability. He equips us. He resources us. And that's what that means. God has a purpose for you. And in that purpose of what he's called you to do, he's going to resource you and he's going to put it right in front of you, everything that you need. And so what if God healed my relationships? What if God showed us our purpose? And then what if God used us to make a difference? Listen, everybody, we're all called to make a difference. Here's the deal. We're not supposed to be the thermometer in the room. We're supposed to be the thermostat, right? Did I say that right? The thermometer just reads what it is. It reads what it is. But the thermostat, you can move that thing to change the temperature in the room. What would it look like if God so affected you in your relationships that when you walk in the room that it made a difference, it changed the atmosphere, it changed the environment? Guess what? That's what Jesus has called us to do, to be light and to be salt. And so when we walk into a room, where whatever that is, we need to be a change. We need to be making change. What about generational change? We're actually going to be talking about some of this next month in our legacy series that's going to start next week, and how we can affect another generation, how we can leave a legacy, how we can make a mark, how we can make a difference. And so we're all called to make a difference. And so what is your dream destination? And let me ask you, are you willing to dream? Are you willing to allow God to put a dream in your heart of what those relationships could look like again? God wants to use us to make a difference. Look at Lamentations chapter 5 in the message. It says this, bring us back to you, God. We're ready to come back. Give us a fresh start. And I just pray that that could be our prayer today to God, that we could just say, God, just bring us back to you. We're ready to come back. Give us a fresh start. And we need, and look, focus on that word, fresh. We need a fresh start. And so we're not addressing things in the same old way. We're not thinking about things in the same old way. God, give us fresh thoughts. Give us creativity, God. Let us think the thoughts that are in the mind of Christ. Let us think of those things that are possible. Let us think with thoughts of faith, God. And so fresh, it needs to be fresh. And so we are talking about here how we can have relationships without regret. 2 Corinthians says this, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. So godly sorrow is a good thing because it causes us to turn and say, God, I want a difference made in my life. I need to make a change. And it leaves no regret. So God's able to make it where, look, you don't have to be living in those regrets of yesterday forever. God, when we turn to God, God's able to heal us of those things. It doesn't mean we don't remember, But those things aren't alive and active anymore in our life, that we can move forward and we can function in life and we can go forward into a new thing. But here's the thing, but worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly sorrow brings death. And so if we just sit around and mull over what happened yesterday, that doesn't do anything but destroy us on the inside. But God has a better way, and He wants you to live a life without regrets. God brings life to us, right? And so let's look at some practical ways that we can do that. What are some steps that we can make in moving in the right direction to see our relationships change and be something far different than they are today? Number one, we need to practically do this, and that is set a God-first priority. Set a God-first priority. And that's not just words. That's not just saying, okay, God, you're first. You're first in my life. No, it's so that you can now say, God, you now set my priority. Since you are now first in my life, now you're first, not me. So instead of me setting my priorities, God, you are first in my life. So now, God, you set my priorities. That's far different. God, I'm going to let you order my life. I'm going to let you realign my life and put it back in proper perspective. And so we need to be still and let God do that in our life. And I heard the illustration this way that, you go into a theater setting where it's real dark but they've got the lights down the aisle. You know, you can see where the aisles are. And if you turn the lights off, you probably say, oh, I don't even know how to get out of here unless you maybe see an exit sign. But if you sit there for a few minutes, your eyes will adjust and you'll begin to see the aisles lights light up and begin to lighten the path after your eyes begin to adjust for a moment. And I think that's the way it is spiritually. Sometimes we just got to be still and listen. You know, sometimes we're just, some of you may be like me. Help me, I'm talking and can't shut up. I was wanting to hear some laughter. I got it from my wife. Thank you very much. That's the only, but we talk, but prayer is not just talking, it's listening. And so we need to listen and say, God, help me reprioritize my life. God, you be first. You know, if He's going to realign your life, you know, my wife's going to be next, and then my kids, and then my church, and my job. And so we need to make sure that we're prioritizing things as they need to be, and we need to put others, the Bible says, first above ourselves. You know, when we walk into a room, like at a wedding, who's the most important person in that at that wedding? It's the bride. Nobody's more important than that bride. Now, I'm not saying that in life somebody's more important than you, but what we need to do is recognize we need to give value to people. When somebody walks in the room, we need to be the attitude of, no, you first. No, you go first. No, you first. You. So we need to have that attitude towards others, where we add value to others. So set a God-first priority, and it's love God, right? Jesus said, love God with all your heart, right? And love others as yourself, and it puts things in proper perspective. Number two, invest in relationships. Invest in relationships. That means put some energy into it. That means you got to do something, not just think about it. Not just think, I love you. You might need to say, I love you. Not just say, I love you. You might need to show, I love you, right? You might need to put some walkie-walkie behind your talkie-talkie. That was one of my father-in-law's lines. We need less talkie-talkie. We need more walkie-walkie, all right? So put some energy in it. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Beautiful story here of Jonathan's commitment to David. And it says, Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. And that's exactly what Jesus said in the New Testament, to love your neighbor as yourself. So invest in that. How can we do it? Let me give you three practical ways that you can do that. Number one, be intentional. Be intentional. And that means that you might have to really focus on what you're doing, and I mean, really, it's not something that will necessarily come natural, perhaps. Like husbands, when you're going down the road and you see on the corner somebody selling flowers, it might be a sign from God. I'm just saying. It may because you yourself may not have thought of that yourself, and you're thinking, why should I buy flowers that are dead that are going to get deader. I mean, you know, why else do they give you that CPR packet, right, that they, you put in it to try to resuscitate the thing? You know what they give you now in the thing? But you understand that it may not mean much to you, but you need to be intentional about understanding it may mean something to your wife, right? So we could use many examples there. But be intentional, right? And so you might need to be creative. God, help me to be creative. It may not be a way that I would think, but God, help me to be intentional to make sure that I'm communicating my love and that I am investing in relationships. Number two is put time into it. Put time into it. T-I-M-E, time, time, time. Quality time. Give somebody that's important to you your undivided attention. Not while you're watching the football game. Turn the football game off. Last night wasn't worth watching anyway. Don't want to talk about it. We're not going to go there today, all right? I'm just saying. But focus, right? Focus, give your undivided attention. Put some time to it. Linger, talk, and listen. A third practical way is stick with it. Stick with it. Don't do this because someone deserves it. But do it just because it's the destination. Well, that person doesn't deserve my time. That person doesn't deserve it. It's not about that. It's about do it because there's a destination that you want to have in life, where you want to have quality relationships with people where life is full, right? And I'm going to tell you, life is full when you are invested in other people. The rich person is the one who has friends, right? Who has relationships, quality relationships, not an island to yourself saying, I'm okay. No, you're not. Because even of all the things God made, he said only one thing he said wasn't good, and he said it's not good that man should be alone. We need one another. We need relationships. We're built for relationships. So we don't want to live a life that at the end of it all, you know, you're saying, is that it? I worked, earned a paycheck, ate, slept. That's it. That's it. That's all there is to it. No, there is more to it than that. I want to tell you, it's when you're invested in people. So we need to be invested in one another. And here's another step for you, number three, and that's start now. Start now. Very practical, but start now. So, well, that's good stuff. You know, I have to work on that one day. No, make a commitment to start now. 1 John chapter 3 says this: let us stop just saying we love one another. Let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. Remember last week we had the word really? Really. Let us really show it by our actions. Start now. And you say, well, I'll do that when I feel like it, when it's not awkward. No, you can't do that. You can't wait for feelings. What you do, well, I don't want to be fake. Well, we're not talking about being fake, but here's what happens. You put the action out there first, your feelings will catch up. Okay? You step out there and do what God's called you and commanded you to do. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Why? That your joy may be full, right? That your joy may be full. And so we step out there and we do what God's called us to do, and guess what? The joy comes along. Amen, everybody? That's good stuff right there. And so look at this. Start now. How do we do that? So look at this. When we think something good, say it, right? When we think, well, I can't think of anything good to say. Grandma said, if you can't think of any, if you can't, you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. Well, Grandma was wrong. There's always something good. You need to be thinking something good. Well, no, there's nothing good. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. I mean, you may have to search for it, but look for it. There's always something good, all right? Think of something good. Find something good in somebody and accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative and forget about Mr. In-Between. Some of y'all don't even know what that's about. That's an old song, all right? Lyrics from an old song. I mean, you did a phenomenal job, son, taking out the trash. I'm telling you, that was phenomenal. I mean, something, you know, find something good and say it, right? And then look at this. When you think something special, do it. Do it. Right? When you think of something you can do special, do it. Do it. And you say, well, it doesn't seem natural. Well, you know what? The negative oftentimes is natural, right? The negative is natural. We need to have the positive be the natural. You don't know what I'm talking about. Let me give you an illustration. One of my sons, I won't say which. That helps get me out of trouble, right? when they were very young at school. They were in a line, and one of the kids pushed him. And he just turned around and said, pow! I mean, he just knocked the guy out. I mean, I heard so much about that afterwards. I'm not recommending that's what to do, you know, but I'm thinking, hey, just, I mean, it was just a negative response, right? I mean, pushed him, boom, you know, just took him out. I mean, he was about this small, you know, which kind of blew me away that he did that. Good shot. No, I didn't think that. No. But here's the deal. His negative was immediate. That was natural. Why can't we make the positive reaction natural, right? Right? I'm always telling my sons, when they hit each other with the basketball, immediately say, I'm sorry, are you okay? Okay. I don't care if it's your fault. It's just an immediate response, right? Right? Let the positive be a natural. So when you think of something special, do it. Then look at this. When you want something different, I love this, be it. Be it. Right? If you want something to change, be the change. So, well, I'm in an environment that's negative, then change it, right? Be the difference. Well, it's always negative, then be the positive. Well, it's always critical, well, then be the encourager. Or it's everything around me is just laziness. Well, be the hard worker, right? Isn't that good? Be the difference. And by the way, you attract who you are, not who you want. You attract who you are, right? Birds of a feather flock together. So be the difference. Isaiah chapter 43 says this, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. God says, I want to do something new in your relationships. I want to resurrect something new in the wilderness. I want to give you a river. I mean, where it's desolate, I want it to be blossoming. I want your relationships to be. I'm ready to do something new. And it says, do you not see it? And so it's important that we buy in, that we see it by this thing called faith, and we trust God that God wants us to have quality, good relationships. And let me give you a final one here that's really, really a clincher. Number four in our steps to reaching this destination of relationship, right relationships, and that is keep no records of wrong. Keep no records of wrongs. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says that love doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. This is from the Message. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. I love those things called a whiteboard. You ever seen those whiteboards? You can just have the dry erase and you just wipe something off. You know, it's there and it's gone. I was growing up, there was a clown around here on TV called Joy the Clown. Anybody old? Like me, remember Joy the Clown, when he'd make a mistake because it was live TV, he'd come up with that big white glove and he'd say, erase that. I heard a beautiful story of a kid that was in high school. He was a freshman in high school, and it was time for his first prom. And at this particular school, they made a big deal about inviting asking the person to the prom. It wasn't that you just say, hey, you want to go to the prom? No, you had to make a big deal, and so you had to get creative about it. And this one kid and his sister actually came up with an idea for him to ask this girl to the prom. And so they took this whiteboard and they put it in a room where this girl was going to be, and it said homecoming dance, and it had her name on it. And then under her name, it listed all of these guys' names, but all of these guys' names were in dry erase. Homecoming dance, and her name was in permanent marker. All the guys' names were in dry erase, and his name was at the bottom in permanent marker. And then at the bottom of that, he said, erase the board. Isn't that cool? So when she erased the board, all was left was homecoming dance, her name and his name. Cool, isn't it? You know? I would tell you something. when we come to God, God just erases all that stuff that's in our past. Just, in fact, the Bible says He removes it from us as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered against us no more. He can unscramble eggs. He can take relationships that are broken, and He can mend them and put them back together. And I've stood in a place where I have seen God do the amazing. I've seen it where God gives fresh starts, where you can begin again, right? I understand. I'm very realistic. I understand. It takes two people when a relationship is broken to work together. I get that. And sometimes God just gives new beginnings. But I've also seen God do restorations that are amazing. Amazing. Where I kept thinking there was something more for me to do as a pastor, and God just did it. God just did it. I want to tell you, all things are possible with Him. And I don't know what all your past looks like. I don't know what all is on that whiteboard of your life. But I know that when we come to Jesus, one drop of His blood erases it. Erases it all. To be remembered against us no more. In fact, the Bible puts it this way. It's like your sin has been dropped in the sea of His forgetfulness, to be remembered against you no more. So whatever mistakes, whether it's your fault, somebody else's fault, it really doesn't matter. God's able to give a clean slate. And I don't know about you, but when I get up in the mornings, I'm thankful that His mercies are new every morning. We just start where we start with Him, and He starts where we are with Him, and He gives us a new beginning. And it's so easy to do that. Let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 10 says this: hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Isn't that beautiful? And Psalm 103 says this: Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? And so every day we need to start fresh. And we need to throw away that permanent marker as far as we can. And we need to keep in hand that dry erase, right? We need to rely upon the grace of Jesus Christ, because Jesus has come to redeem us, right? Jesus has come to heal us, to restore us, to redeem us, to understand we have value, that we are called with a purpose to make a difference in this world. And the enemy would love just to chain you to the past and say, if only it wasn't for that, then I could. But Jesus comes in the middle of that, and He says, with me, all things are possible. Would you take a moment and bow your heads with me as we just give an opportunity here today for you to just be still and hear the voice of God speaking to your heart, and see if there's some area in your life that you need to reprioritize, realign with His will, His purpose for your life. Had someone speak to me three words were very powerful at a certain stage of my life, and that was, let it go, let it go. Maybe some things in your life that you just need to let go. Another phrase that accompanies that really well is, let God, let God. Today, if that's you and there's some things in your life you just need to let go, maybe you just need God to erase some things and cleanse you and heal you, deliver you and set you free. You just want Him to be able to do that for you. And He's already made that available when He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He shed His blood as payment for everything you've done or ever will do. And all we do is come to Him by faith and accept that free gift, and it's done. And then He takes His marker in heaven, and He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And your sins are removed and never to be remembered against you. He doesn't remember them. When you bring them up, He says, what are you talking about? He doesn't remember them against you anymore. That's you. You like a dry, clean slate today. It may be that you're coming to God for the first time, or you're renewing and you're recommitting, reaffirming your faith. I'd like to lead you in a prayer today. And if that's you today and you say, when you pray that prayer, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? I'd simply like to have you just slip up your hand so I know who I'm agreeing with as we pray in closing. And I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I'm just going to pray with you right where you are. But if that's you and you need a prayer, God bless you today. So proud of you. Yes, I see your hand. Anyone else? God bless you today. God bless you today. Would you just pray this simple prayer with me? Let it be from your heart, but I'm just going to help you with the words. Just right where you're sitting, just breathe this prayer to God. And anyone that wants to pray this prayer that didn't raise your hand are welcome. Join us. Just pray this. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you, God, for healing my heart right now. Thank you for coming inside and giving me a new beginning. Today, I commit my life to you. Just come on, say this. Say, I give you my life. God, come in. Heal me. Heal my relationships. But most important, God, I want a right relationship with you. So today, by faith, I accept that you have paid for my sins. And I turn from those sins to follow you. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. You are now my Lord. You are now my master. And I will follow you with all my heart. God, I don't understand your love. But I, by faith, accept it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name.